Hey, is it done? You gotta hurry up. Joining. She's here in the Zoom. I have my Zoom question. Here we go.
Is there something this is weird?
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, doing really good.
Awesome. Well, it's so great to get you on the podcast. Very exciting.
Yes, I know.
Second, I'm going to fix my Zoom background.
Oh yeah, no problem.
Great. Last time I saw you, it was, I think, at Shalene's meeting. Did you do Shalene Johnson? Did you come to
I didn't.
meeting? Oh, no, it was one of the aesthetic meetings.
Yes, it was. Oh, it was in Dallas, and I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah, it was a good meeting in Dallas. There we go.
Yes.
Well, good
There
to
we
see you.
go.
So excited that
Yeah.
you joined, hers, hims and hers.
Yeah.
That's we're so impressive. Very exciting
Oh, thank
times.
you.
Yeah, are you enjoying it?
I am.
Well, that is incredible. We'll talk about it on the podcast because I know you have a hard stop at 10.
I
So,
do. Oh, yeah, because you're behind me. I was like, well, 12 my time. Yeah.
oh yeah. So okay, so I'm going to record a little Instagram asset that we can do. I'll just say today's podcast, we're chatting with the amazing Jessica Shepherd. And then are there things you're launching or premiering or anything you want to talk about when
Yeah.
particular?
So my platform, Modern Menno, is
Okay.
on menopause. And so we've been doing a lot of promo about that. We have free webinars and like community. And then also, can you hear in the back? Are my kids too loud? Because I can tell them to shut it.
Really hear him? No, I don't hear him.
Oh, good. Okay, perfect. If you do, just pause and being like, hey, I can hear, and I can let them know.
Okay, perfect.
But yeah, Modern Menno. You can say founder of Modern Menno. You can say chief medical officer, hims and hers. And then we could, I mean, I'm sure in our discussion, we can also talk about it as well.
And I'll say your book.
Yes,
Okay.
absolutely. Yes.
How exciting. I'm gonna ask you about writing a book, how hard that was. Okay, one sec.
Yeah. If my dog starts barking, because he picks random times to start barking, I will pause. And remember where I am and have them take him, and then we'll continue right where I left off.
The beauty of working from home.
I know. I know.
It's so funny. Sometimes I have a little teacup Maltese, and he just gets it in his head that he must be in my lap. He's just
Right. And you're
goes
like,
crazy in the room next door.
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Ready? So you'll do a little recording here, so you can stand, and you're gonna just like zoom on me, and then we'll zoom right on her on the camera. Let me just change the video view so that her picture is a little bit bigger here. Perfect. And then. Let's see, how do we change this view? Speaker view, there you go. And gallery view.
Do you want that full screen it so that
Yeah, and then we'll be able to see her.
perfect.
That looks perfect.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Ready?
Hey guys, today's podcast is going to be amazing. We are speaking to the dynamic Jessica Shepherd. Dr. Shepherd is Chief Medical Officer at Hims and Hers. And she has written a book and she has her own platform. Tell us about the menopause platform, Dr. Shepherd.
Yeah, my menopause platform is Modern Menno, and it really is taking all the noise and overwhelm that we typically see on social media and that really dialing that down to how we can build community, get questions answered, maybe a little bit more personalized, and then providing community with experts and really getting them the information they need.
We need this. I can't wait to talk about it. Amazing. Okay, great. That was awesome. I'm going to make sure we are recording and then we are ready to go. Can you just tell everybody library
I did.
voices out there? You did. Okay, great.
I read
Thank you so much. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a really interesting podcast. We're going to talk about menopause with one of the most valuable and interesting ladies who's in menopause. Love to introduce you to Dr. Jessica Shepherd. She's a board-certified gynecologist and a women's health expert. She specializes in menopausal health. She's also the chief medical officer for HERS, you know, Hims and HERS. And her holistic practice is called Sanctum Med Wellness in Dallas. And she's created this amazing place for patients to explore a holistic journey to optimize their health. She's been featured all over the media in Self Magazine, Women's Health Magazine. We lectured on a stage once. And she's just released a book. It's called Generation M. And this has created so much buzz. She also has a really interesting modern menopause platform. And she is such a total expert on sexual health, physical health, emotional health. She's so passionate about women's health and longevity and wellness. Welcome to the podcast, Dr.
Hi,
Shepherd.
Aria. It is so exciting to be here, especially since we were on the same stage and like right after we were like, let's do something together. So here we are.
Exactly. She ran in, she put her heels on, and we went on stage together. It was like in and out. So flying, you're flying around these days. You're everywhere. You're on Good Morning America, CBS, NBC, CNN, The Today Show. What's it like to write and launch a book?
It is paper cuts by a thousand.
Death by paper cuts.
But in the end, when you see, the product, the actual book, it's very gratifying. But then, even from that is seeing how many people are impacted after that and being able to speak to people about what they were able to learn and how it reached or touched them. That's probably the best part.
That's incredible. So you wrote Generation M, and is that the menopause generation? Of
It
course.
is, 100% of women go through menopause. So, what I wanted to be able to express through the book is not this fear kind of time frame in which women get to, which is typically what we hear, society-wise, is that it's this fearful time frame, but something that women would want to be a part of and, join the club. We're all part of Generation M at some point in our life, and that's really what I wanted it to showcase, is that we don't have to be fearful of it, but there's so many ways to get through this part of our lives because one, we spend the rest of our lives in that postmenopausal phase, and it is 40% of our life is spent in that time frame. So why would we want to build it in a way where it is not joyful or it is not something that we're looking forward to? And that's what I think we should change that to.
40%, that's a staggering number, right? I think people don't realize because women live so long, longer than most male counterparts, right? We get into our 80s. So if you hit menopause, perimenopause in your 40s sometime, and then actual menopause in your 50s, and then it's like that's a lot of years to live without optimal hormones and wellness. So what are the most common symptoms that people have that they're in perimenopause and they didn't even realize it that all this time they've been in perimenopause?
Yeah, perimenopause is more of that chaotic time frame in a woman's life because one, they're still menstruating, whether it's irregular or regular, they still have that feature. And so you're not really attributing to menopause, which is when you don't have a cycle. So there are these subtle types of changes that occur over time, whether that's, hot flashes, but they're maybe not as severe, but you're like, was that a hot flash? Changes in sleep, I think, are some of the big ones that I see. Change in mood, emotional kind of changes, regulation, resilience, what you're tolerating is a lot of what I hear from women as well. And so it's just like it's like subtly kind of coming on. And then you're like, is that what I'm going through? Is it not? It's very confusing. And I think that brings a lot of frustration as well. So those are some of the symptoms that women see. They're not always there. And then you go into menopause, and that's when it becomes a little bit more severe. And women are like, okay, this is definitely menopause, in addition to you're not having your cycle. So they're really different time frames, but they all kind of combine into this experience. And I think that the more that we can ease women in kind of the knowledge of knowing what's coming, how to get through it, what is available, what tools and resources there are, so that by the time you do become menopausal, you've kind of already given yourself this framework of what you would like to do.
Yeah, so you kind of built your own plan for going getting through it. But I think that part of the problem is that hormone therapy is still so confusing for many women. And I would say that probably the majority of gynecologists out there do not have a great hormone therapy set up and don't even want to learn it, and like are still telling people that they're fine and they're supposed to just gradually burn out. And like your hormones are designed to go down and just let them. So how do you talk to women about hormones these days? How do you frame the risks and benefits and timing, balance, and why we should do it?
I think it's a very broad conversation. In fact, two of my patients that I saw yesterday had been told that, by their OBGYN, your labs are fine. Every woman goes through it and you're going to be okay, without really giving the recommendation or resource of possible use of HRT. I think as an HRT advocate, when I think of hormone replacement therapy, is I'm not forcing it on you. What I do want you to appreciate is the information, education behind it, so that you can make the best decision for yourself, whatever that is. That's what I'll support. But in that, I want to give you the best information around there rather than just saying you don't need it. So, in that framework, I think that a lot of women now come in with hesitation. The WHI study, which was 20 years ago, really kind of gave that bad PR press moment that has lived for 20 years, and we're trying to unravel that now. So there is a lot of confusion, hesitation for good reason, and concern. What I really think women should walk away with when after they speak to me, and a lot of, my menopause colleagues who fundamentally are here to educate women on it, is that there is risk with everything. So when we assign risk, risk is very personalized, but risk also includes what is the level of risk that comes with that, based on your medical history, based on, maybe medications that you're taking, based on your age and when you start. But all of that together all assigns a different risk category for everybody. And even in that, someone who might have a higher risk profile than someone else might choose to do hormones versus someone who has a lower risk profile and decides that that's what they don't want for themselves. Either one of those is not wrong. That's what we should be counseling people in all aspects of medicine. And so I think when I think of women's health and the bad, kind of rep that, HRT got, I was like, why do we like to frighten women like this? Like, what is this that we feel that the risk of HRT, which we now know the benefits from it, completely outweigh the risks? How did we get on that avenue and that path? That's what maybe frustrates me the most, especially when I see women coming in who are suffering, and I'm like, you don't have to do this, and here is a better way to navigate through that. But still, the mind holds on to that risk of something that's very minimal to being the bigger thing that they would hold on to than taking care of themselves in those moments.
It's almost like hormones have been so attached, estrogen, breast cancer, like they go hand in hand. And then I think people just have to let go of that notion because actually the percentages of breast cancer conversions are extremely, extremely small.
And even in that study, it was not significant, from its pure statistical standpoint. Not everyone knows statistics or loves statistics, but the fact that it wasn't significant and it wasn't even due to estrogen, but the whole rumor mill asserted that it was estrogen causes breast cancer, is just like, where, how did we get there?
It's going to be so hard to reverse that notion. I even still am seeing patients who are just like, well, my levels were normal. I'm like, yeah, your doctor says you're 60, you have hormones of a 60-year-old. Is that optimal? Like, don't you want to have like a slightly better hormone function? I think even now I'm still hearing this dialogue from women that like, well, I've been through menopause, so I don't need hormones anymore. And like, not hear them getting the conversation about dementia, preventing cardiovascular risk improvements, and like they like act the actual night sweats is one thing, but like the long-term estrogen use for bone density, et cetera, is so important. How do you frame that for patients?
I say, how do you want to show up for yourself in your 70s, 80s, and 90s, right? If we were able to forecast or make choice now in midlife, to what we want to do then this is where we get to make some of those decisions right now. Because for me to wait till you're 70, 80, and 90, doing a DEXA scan at 65 when you've been maybe 20 plus years without estrogen is not a setup for success. It's actually a setup for failure. And so I say, you get to choose that. And on what you choose as far as outcomes and what you expect for yourself and what you want for yourself, let's build that now. And then we can go back to the building blocks of how do we get that outcome that you just mentioned that you want for yourself? Because then you're putting it back into the hands of the woman to advocate for themselves by giving them choice. But we typically don't allow women to do that when it comes to choice, their body, their health, their outcomes. We want to more so dictate what it should be. And that really hasn't gotten us. That really hasn't gotten us very far, in the past.
Well, I think your book is going to inspire a lot of women. What message do you most want women to take from that book?
I think, when I wrote it was I wanted it to be a love letter to all the patients and women I had seen over the years, and even to myself, being in perimenopause, is how do I want to frame this stage of my life in a way that feels not prescriptive, it feels valuable, it feels like it flows, because everything really is connected, whether that's your daily habits of nutrition, exercise, sex life. What else? I think hormones are obviously a part of that, but it's never just one thing that you get the big effect. It's everything together. And if that the conversation could reside there in a way that feels comforting and allows people to settle in themselves, that's what I think my biggest message is for women, is to explore themselves through this journey in a way that feels inviting.
Amazing. Let's switch gears and talk a little about HERS, your chief medical officer at HERS. You guys have all heard of HIMS and HERS. And what is going to be their big focus? I know that GLP-1s have revolutionized medicine, wellness, and have so many health benefits. Are you guys really highly focused on GLPs? Is it more about hormones? Is it a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both, but as you know, GLPs really have like kind of stolen the spotlight globally. And that is what really helped define, especially the HERS side of the business, HIMS and HERS, is that women really, in frustration when it comes to not necessarily always severe weight loss, but just sometimes even weight management or the ability to get their weight loss kickstarted into something that they could see themselves continuing and maintaining. GLPs really became that platform that people needed. And quite frankly, what we did see very early on was a lot of gatekeeping, from the pharmaceutical industry and insurance model of who was allowed to access it versus not. And that's one fundamental, I think, HIMS and HERS, is that we really want to reach people who don't have access, who may not have the wherewithal to get the same service that they would through insurance and hospital services, and be able to do that. And so that's what we were able to do in a very safe, efficacious, and clinical driven platform. And so, as a telehealth, industry, that's what kind of put us on the stage as well, GLPs. And in that was like, okay, well, women really want their health taken care of. What else can we add value to on the platform? And that's when we were like perimenopause and menopause. And so we launched that in October of 2024. And we just continue to keep building our verticals by listening to women, first of all, and meeting them where they need to be met.
Amazing. So it's in all 50 states. People can get prescriptions for hormones through their insurance. Is it insurance based?
It is not. And that, again, is a parameter that is very different to the mindset of patients, right? Because patients feel that insurance is going to manage everything, take care of everything. And we know quite differently that that's not the case. And so that's what we were seeking when I mentioned the gatekeeping of certain, medications, specifically with GLPs, but also hormones as well. And so we were able to break that barrier by just being like, you, anyone, whether you have insurance or not, can access us and can access what we have as a resource.
That's so important. I've seen so many people who have obesity, they have an elevated BMI, they have high cholesterol, but they can't qualify through their insurance plans to get GLPs. So it's quite restrictive, unnecessarily so, I think.
Correct.
Especially given that you're going to get so much dollar value back in revenue saved from chronic long-term illness, it makes no sense at all. But are you guys doing microdosing for GLPs? Curious if you're doing like the longevity side of things and anti-inflammatory benefits.
Yeah, we actually, I believe it was a month and a half to 2 months ago, started our microdosing availability of the medication, which again, we are seeing, staggering numbers because it has to do in two different capacities of, yes, there's a longevity aspect of, microdosing GLPs, but the other part of that is for people who want to maintain weight, not necessarily have weight loss, can use the microdosing capability in that way. And so what I do think what we soon will see is the studies and evidence behind the true benefits and value of GLPs and what we you and I clearly know we've seen now in brain health, cardiovascular health, certain cancers that was actually discussed the other day. So this is where we are going with GLPs. They will only, I think that we'll only see advancements in GLPs. So yeah, that microdosing has was definitely needed. So we all again see what's needed, see where the gap is, and then fill in the gap.
Well, consumers are so interested in peptides these days. Are you guys starting to close that gap? Are you prescribing any peptides?
No, not currently. Obviously GLP is a peptide, but when we look at peptides for longevity, there's always a fine line between what is approved, obviously, with FDA and what we do see, in the safety side of peptides, what's been researched, what's been not, what still is in research kind of mode, but then also how it's sourced. What we have seen in the peptide world is peptides have been around forever. I think people think it's new, but it, hasn't really been given the credibility that it probably deserves in, as far as number and research. But then there are a lot of people who irresponsibly use it, right? So we have to make sure that one, when we look at FDA approval, safety and studies, and then also how it's sourced, and kind of pushing away from the people who don't use it responsibly to make sure that we bring in a responsible version of that. So I mean, I think the idea is there. We'll see probably in the near future as regulation changes for peptides, what that re mean for us as a company.
I think, yeah, people are asking, and potentially there are some peptides that are safer or been used for longer times that maybe those can start to get utilized. But I'm with you. I think that the consumer safety should come first, and like the purity sourcing. Like they've done some studies that show that when they pull like 20 different peptides on the market, and they find that there's inactive ingredients in the vast majority of them. Like there's no actives in these. You're buying like sterile. Sterile water, hopefully it's sterile because sometimes
Right.
there's endotoxins in it.
Exactly.
So I think the consumer has to be extremely safe. And even as a physician, I would find it hard to go and find an online vendor of peptides that I would trust.
Correct.
And I have seen so many patients using research grade, and it's clearly the bottles are labeled for research use only. And like, I just have a lot of qualms about not knowing the exact ingredients in everything I put in my body, you know.
Yeah, it's a funny story that you just said that this past week, it is people who, will, try to seek counsel or advice or opinion from me, as a physician, and they'll show me what they're using, and I'm like, that clearly just says research grade only. Like this is not a thing. And
This is for lab rats.
I'm not discussing that with you because that's at your own risk what you would like to do. I'm not taking part in that. So it's funny that you said that.
I honestly, these days when I take a medical history, I'm asking every patient what, I don't even think that otherwise, I just say, what peptides are you on? And like 70% of the time, they'll give me a little list. And I'm like, this is shocking. GLP is one thing, but they list these peptides that I have not even heard of that they bought from their gym bro. And it's just kind of interesting. So that's part of my every patient's history. Are you on a GLP and what peptides are you on right now? So,
Yeah, exactly.
well, what's one of the things that you would want to change about midlife and how to thrive in midlife?
I think one of the things that I would want to change and hopefully can change, as I do this work, is for women to feel comfort in midlife. But really, I call it the magic of midlife, because what you do see is, we said it, a little briefly before, is in our 70s, 80s, and 90s, is really midlife is where we can fine-tune that and really change what we how we approach that. Think of you and I, and think of our mothers and their mothers before, is nothing was really discussed, approached, done. Then you get to those ages and you see a very sharp decline, specifically for women and their health. But we can do that differently if we kind of front load with whether that's hormones, change in our nutrition, how we fuel our body, movement, and exercise, when we think of strength training. So even those small little changes incrementally in our midlife can completely, vastly change our 70s, 80s, and 90s. So the magic of midlife, I think, is really important for me to emphasize to women that. And midlife, just granted, midlife, our life expectancy is 80. So midlife is what? 40. So even as early as latter 30s, 40 into 55 is like the 15-year time frame in where just consistent changes in daily habits can really get us great benefit 20 to 30 years later.
So at age 35, what's something that every woman should start doing for her future self?
Creating a template, creating kind of like just even in thoughts, what in the next 5 to 10 years, right? We do that with life goals, financial goals, but we don't always do that with our health. Is in the next 5 to 10 years, what do I want to work towards that I can get really big gain from? And that cheesy saying, health is your wealth. But in some sort of truthness, if you can live to 100, but if you really don't have your health, you really don't have much. So that's what I would say is starting those conversations, even in your head, and even talking to your doctor in that way of like, okay, I know I'm 37, 38, but when I'm 48 or when I'm 46, this is what I'm kind of conceptualizing for myself and my health. What can we build from now to get me there? Because everyone wants the overnight fix, right? I mean, even myself, as I say that's kind of human nature. But we also live in a society that like pushes that on us very heavily. You and I know our bodies, just in medicine, just from a biological standpoint, does not work that way. So for me to expect that I'm going to do one big move and it's going to change overnight and I'm going to maintain that habit and I'm going to change my life forever, said no one ever. We all think it.
That's very true. I think I have some basic goals this year. I want to really master push-ups, and after that, I get that upper body strength. I want to do a pull-up. I've never done a pull-up my whole entire life. I should try to do that, right? Like you
I
have to
mean, like even
have
that, like just that alone is like, start there.
Yeah, honestly. But I think there are metrics that we can do. I wish that modern healthcare incorporated those. So if there were some tests or studies that you could do early on in your 40s to predict and guide you in your trans, and into later life, what would you do right now? I know DEXA scan is a great one.
Yep, I was going to say DEXA scan is great. So you have a starting point, right? We don't want to wait till you're 65 and your bones are already taking a hit to being like, yeah, now I think I'm going to do something. The other thing is metabolic health. Metabolic health is our engine for, again, how we live our lives now, but what it can do for us later. So labs, like very easy labs that can help, is your hemoglobin A1C, see where you are with, glucose metabolism. Fasting insulin really tells us how our body is good with insulin and glucose, but also shows us like chronic inflammation. And then cardiovascular disease is still the number one killer of women, right? Globally, and men as well. But for women, one of the downfalls as we go through menopause and estrogen, which is cardioprotective, is lost. But we do have better testing now to kind of see where we are. Again, don't wait for the symptom, but we have really good cardiovascular biomarkers, such as your ApoB and your little protein, your lipoprotein little A, your high sensitive CRP, homocysteine. So going to a provider that can understand like the background of what it looks like genetically, but then also what you're contributing to your health cardiovascular wise is probably really important in addition to metabolic health with insulin and glucose.
I think so. And maybe a calcium scan would be
Yes.
good, especially.
Yes. I like calcium scans, but I'm like, let's do the fundamentals first and then push you. Because there's different types of calcium, scores or testing that I think, depending on where the person is, might be better, pushed towards. But that's like that next level that I think everyone, should get. But let's just see where you even are. And I think we don't do a great job at screening in medicine. We are very disease prone. Wait till you have it, then we'll fix it.
It's so true, because even on you're going for your physical, you get your labs and the doctor's like, "You're fine, you're not gonna die this year."
When you are.
Right? But come back when you have a problem. But they don't actually say that, like, there's some predictive tests we can do, and there's some trajectory of aging things that if we worked on this now, the way you age is gonna be better. So it's almost up to the consumer to ask for those tests or think about those pathways and like, are you doing any testing for biologic age testing versus chronologic age
I
testing?
do. There's a company that looks at glycans, and glycans really are kind of looking at how our cells are aging, what inflammation is adding to that aging, if you want to use the term infla-aging. And that kind of looks at your chronological age versus kind of like what your body age is. And I think those are really good motivational tests that can help people say, oh my God, people love seeing numbers, if you're 45, but your labs show that you're 37 versus someone who's comes back as 52. Like those are really good ways to motivate yourself, and I really like them.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting, all of the advanced testing that we do. And talk a little about the microbiome changes that we go through. For example, in menopause, like everything changes inside and out. Does your microbiome change? Do you recommend certain things, supplements?
Yeah, I'm th those traditional doctors that still feel that supplements can be really helpful in what you're able to not wait till it's depleted, but keep that storage level or that reserve stocked, right? It's kind of like a storage facility. We don't want all the product to be gone before we'll call in for more product. We want to keep a really good tally on what's decreasing and keeping that at bay. So, for example, vitamin D, looking at your vitamin B12 complex, and then supplements like creatine. Creatine really helps with muscle recovery, which we lose, 1 to 3% per decade at the age of 35. And that naturally starts to significantly decrease with menopause, loss of estrogen and testosterone. So I think that supplements can be tricky because people then want to do 18 million supplements. And I'm like, let's fine-tune that. Like,
That's
who
me.
are you? Right. And then what are you going to, I always say, keep it to like top three or four, because we can change out a few here or there. But
Yeah.
when people get like overwhelmed by it, again, it's one of those, I'm very big about small changes, consistency. And if you can keep four, that you can do daily, and then if you're doing really well in one area, we can switch that out to something else. And that's how we should be attending to our health, is just keep like a really good monitor on it and seeing when the needle's moving too far or too left, and trying to just keep that flow.
Are you on some supplements? Do you want to share your supplements?
Yeah, I'll send
What
my
are you
supplement
taking?
stack. I use vitamin D because mine is low. So one for women that typically goes down, but for black women, that usually is lower. So I take vitamin D. I do take creatine, because as I'm strength training, I want to help, my muscles my muscle cells to be able to build better, stronger.
How many is it, grams or milligrams? How many?
Yeah, so it's usually grams. So I do 5 grams. I have tried occasionally to go up to 10. When we get to 10, that's where we start to see some benefit for brain health, right? So for cognition. And so my goal is to get there, 10 to 15. And then also I love obviously hormones. And for hormones, I am on hormone replacement therapy and I'm not even menopausal. I one started to have changes in like brain health, so like cognition, brain fog, multitasking, kind of those things started to waver. So I started on testosterone first. And then, even though I know I have estrogen because I'm perimenopausal, I was like, well, I know the benefits of estrogen. I'm going to start on estrogen as well. And so I'm on estrogen. I do have an IUD, so that's my form of progesterone to counteract estrogen. But at some point, I will convert to another type of progesterone when I'm menopausal. Yeah.
That's a great stack. I have a couple rapid fire questions for you.
Yes.
All right. What's one lab marker women should know in their bodies?
Hemoglobin A1C.
That's a good one. One symptom women should not ignore.
Hot flashes, the more severe they are, has been shown to increase in dementia later on in life.
One favorite habit that supports aging better.
Meditation and mindfulness.
True.
Yeah.
One supplement or nutrient that you wouldn't live without, or that you need every day.
Ooh, a supplement. Sunshine and oxygen.
That's a nutrient right there. I love it. I think those are such great questions. Are you a coffee or tea person?
Definitely coffee, but I am now a new, not new, reclaimed tea drinker at night.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yoga or running?
Oh, that's hard, but yoga because you get physical benefit as well as mental benefit from it.
So true. That's so true. And then last book that you read.
I'm a very big young Pueblo reader, and he has a bunch of books, but his last one that I read was Moving Forward.
Wow. Okay, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah.
Who inspires you lately?
My kids,
Mm.
my two little boys.
Good. I love
Yeah.
that. That's gives you your strength.
It does. I learned so much about myself through them.
Well, I hope that lots of people will read your book, Generation M.
You.
How do they find your platform for modern menopause?
Yeah, for Modern Menno, we're obviously on social media at Modern Menno, MEN as in Nancy O, obviously for menopause. And then also on our platform, which I can share with you, you can share in the notes. But also Dr. Jessica Shepherd is my website, which can lead you to Modern Menno.
I love it. Well, I love that you've created this little mini universe for people to
Yeah.
understand going from a society that ignored and didn't talk about women's issues and like just threw them under the rug to now a situation where it should be acknowledged as part of life. It's like our own version of puberty that we're going through. And then,
Exactly.
and there's ways to optimize it. Now we have to push for more research
We do.
and clinical dollars, clinical trials, and like, let's do a new women's health initiative. My God,
Yeah.
it's time. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. Everyone should check out Dr. Jessica Shepherd. And if you're looking for a really knowledgeable resource on menopause, this is where you go. Love you to the moon. That's it for
You
now,
too.
guys. Stay beautiful and don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K. That's Drkay, doing amazing things with people's faces and longevity wellness. It's all about the collagen production. And I would love to send you our new peptide skincare line, which has GHK copper in every product, glutathione. It has my own KD collagen elastin peptide, palmitil pentapeptide 5, that
Oh, I
grows and
love that.
stimulates collagen. Love it. It's going to be
So I get
amazing.
your stack. I told you
Yes.
my stack. You're sending me your stack. I love that.
You need the skincare stack. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful. Thank you so much. Mwah, that was so great. I will
Thank
send
you.
you links and let
Yes,
you know
please.
when it's going to go live, probably
Okay.
pretty soon, sometime in the next 2 weeks or so.
Do you need any assets from my team? I don't know how you post it on your page, or do you just use a still from what we're doing now? If you
Probably
need
look,
anything, just let me know.
yeah, just maybe a headshot, or if you
Okay.
want to send a book, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Will do.
Okay,
All
sounds
right.
good.
Have a
Thank
good one.
you. Bye for
Okay.
now. Bye.
Bye.